Yes, let's get to work here indeed, and welcome. It's Sunday night once again, October 25th, 2020. Coming to you live from the radio bunker somewhere in Arizona, it's time for the best 90 minutes in digital media, Article 5 Live. I'm your host, JD. Thanks for being here tonight. Only 9 more days till the most important election in the history of mankind, in my opinion. So let's get right into it. President Trump is currently doing 3 rallies a day. He is moving a Jumbotron around, which he plays about a 15-minute montage of Joe Biden contradicting himself and arguing with Bernie Sanders about wanting to cut Social Security. It's actually really quite interesting to see that happening. It's a wonderful thing for the base. You know, if you support President Trump and you tune into that, you're loving it. The 20,000 people there inside the venues are loving it. The 25,000 people that would like to be inside the venue that are on the outside of the venue are loving it. It's quite the phenomenon. There is, however, one problem. Our media isn't covering it. So what that means, if you're not inclined to go look for that phenomenon, you're really not that much aware of it. And you're certainly not aware of Joe Biden at odds with himself over major subjects such as cutting Social Security, such as whether or not he said he would ban fracking or not ban fracking. Now, those that are not so politically inclined may have gotten their first glimpse of these things at the debate, the final debate. Many people believe that President Trump virtually wiped the floor with Joe Biden. There are the media types that try to be fair and balanced, if you know what I'm saying, that claim it was a draw between Joe Biden and President Trump in that debate. But if you listen to CNN, you will hear their commentators say they've never seen such a knockdown of an incumbent president by a challenger. So the opinions that we hear in public range from milk toast to Biden killed it. If you watch alternative media, i.e. media that isn't afraid of the truth, you will know that President Trump really handed Joe Biden his ass. And the reason I say that is because he mentioned Hunter Biden laptop and what's on it and the evidence that is presented about the sale of the office of the vice presidency for cash. And you know, I'm here to tell you half the country has no idea about any of this because they don't report it. And these people do not seek out the information that is available. So, although President Trump was extremely triumphant and correct in his comportment and delivery of the facts and handing Joe Biden his ass on a platter in that debate, many of the people watching, many millions of the people watching it were scratching their head going, what the hell is Trump talking about? They have no idea. Now, many of us that pay close attention and listen to multiple sources of media find it hard to imagine that they don't know what President Trump was talking about, but they don't. I'm telling you, all the alphabet soup networks are not covering this. PBS made a statement early on and said, this is a non-story. We refuse to cover it. You guys know James Copeland. I got on a phone conversation with him. He's been supporting PBS for 35 years with a generous donation. He called them after that statement and said, you will not any longer be receiving any money from me. And also he had a nice endowment in his will for them that he has retracted as well. Now, if Copeland did that, there's many others that did it as well, but they don't care. They really don't care. So CBS, PBS, ABS, NBS, MSNBS, CNNBS, and all the other BSs that I missed, they're not covering the Hunter Biden laptop or his associates. One that's in jail that turned over 25,000 emails to Rudy Giuliani, or his other business associate who is about to go to jail, who is also willing to give all kinds of evidence to whoever wants it. Not to mention the news conference held by the former CEO of CenaHawk, who objected to Hunter Biden basically stealing $5 million from the capitalization of their new corporation, came public and said that Joe Biden, when Joe Biden said he's never discussed business with Hunter Biden, said he knows for a fact that that's false because he is personally involved in that and was there when it was discussed. If that's not a story, I don't know what in the hell is, okay? Not only is it not a story, just a story, it is a bombshell of a story. It makes certain other landmark bombshells diminutive in comparison. Not to mention National Files story. The news broke a national file of Joe Biden's daughter's diary, wherein is statements that we hope are not true. Statements where Joe Biden's daughter said that there were inappropriate showers with her father. You may be hearing this for the first time. I don't know. But this is broke Saturday. I'll guarantee you, legacy media isn't going to touch that. They're afraid of it, even if they want to share it. So all these things are quite unfortunate. We live in a world where we have a First Amendment that says freedom of the press. And that is taken out of context these days. The press believes they have the freedom to lie, the freedom to obfuscate, the freedom to manufacture propaganda, take sides politically, and not hold government that holds their personal political agendas. You know, they believe that they can protect that and perpetuate and pick and choose stories which perpetuate an agenda rather than informing the public and being a check on the power of the government, which is the original intent of freedom of the press. You see, the press was supposed to be the watchdog, not the lapdog. And I think that it's been many decades since we had a press like that. We never really had a perfect press like that. The best situation we ever had was bias on one side and bias on the other side, and you can weigh and pick the two. That's the best situation we've ever had, in my view. We've never actually had objective reporting. So the point, I guess, is this has come to such a serious degree of effect that there's things like a worldwide belief that millions and millions and millions of people have died from COVID in the United States. There's people that believe that 20 million Americans have died from COVID. There's a high-held belief that putting on a stupid mask is going to somehow protect you from the virus or protect your neighbor from it or whatever the case may be. And they call it science. Yet anyone that is serious about science knows that that's bunk. Yet we have the mask cult fully ingrained in American culture. And all the cottage industries producing all the different kinds of masks and all the stylist stuff going on, not realizing what the mask is a symbol of submission to medical tyranny, which is the vehicle in which globalists seek to destroy our culture and take away our sovereignty and take away our individual way to govern ourselves and our country. I know it sounds like a far leap, but it is not. That is what it's about. It's about setting up a global control grid. And I myself fell for this global control grid yesterday, where me and my sweetheart went to a restaurant. And instead of getting a menu, we gave them our cell phone and hit the Q code to order. Now they have us in the contact tracing system. And I did not realize that until it was too late. So I've been had. Now, if there's anybody that was in that restaurant that comes up positive, I'm going to get contacted by the health authorities to get tested. That's how it works, you guys. So anyway, I know I went pretty far afield for my first, engagement. But I also wanted to share with you a conversation I had with our good friend James Copeland earlier today. He's greatly concerned about certain things about the election. Not the same things that I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the fraud of the mail-in ballots. He's concerned about why the president isn't going to the appropriate states. He said, what's he doing in New Hampshire? There's only 4 electoral votes there. He's not going to win anyway. And in my conversation with James, I told him, I said, well, first of all, I think he has a chance in New Hampshire. And the reason he's not in the states you want him to be has internal polling that tells him he's far ahead there. And never mind that, with 9 days to go, there's probably 35 more rallies. He'll hit those states. President Trump's going to work his tail off to get reelected. And these are scary times indeed, because unless we're insiders, we don't really have that much information. And the information we get from the press, by and large, is so inaccurate or just not true, most of it. So we have to do our own research, my good friends, and we have to be aware of the degree of discernment to use the context of everything we hear from all the different sources and throw away the traditional biases against our alternative media, because they are the only ones that are willing to step outside the box of reporting. So, I have a report about that addresses the Hunter Biden thing. I'm going to play for you. And then we're going to bring on a great guest who is waiting in the wings, Mr. John O'Connor. He is the author of a new book called Postgate, his return to the show. Last time we had a great show with John, and he's gonna give us his thoughts on these things that I've brought up. Postgate, how the Washington Post betrayed Deep Throat, covered up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. And I think Mr. O'Connor is quite charitable in the description with his subtitle, because I think it goes steps further than that. And he may or may not agree with that. We'll find out. Let's welcome back to Article 5 Live, Mr. John O'Connor. How you doing, John? It's nice to see you, sir. How are you?
Great, JD. Loved your monologue. It was great.
Okay, so where would you like to start, sir? You know, you can add context from the days of Watergate and how the obfuscation, if you will, of the mainstream media has progressed to what we have today. What say you?
Let me start real quickly, not waste too much of your time. But the founding fathers saw the danger of mobocracy and factionalism in any democracy, that people were going to go crazy, do stupid things. And the remedy for that was the First Amendment. And the thought
closer
was,
is better.
And the thought was that the more voices there were out there about any particular issue, the more the public would be fully informed, and they wouldn't fall for phony deals. That's basically it. They wouldn't go off on a tangent. Now, the problem is, especially since Watergate, things changed. Now we do not have voices from both sides telling us their versions of the truth. Everybody doesn't have to be perfectly truthful, but they have to. It would be nice if you had a version of the truth on each side. When one side says one version of the truth, the other side must necessarily incorporate the facts of the other side, or they look stupid. That's if you have two sides. But if you only have one side, then you can get away with murder and you can omit. And I think what you said so wisely was certain things are just omitted today. Now, we can spend a lot of time talking about a night 14 years ago with Stormy Daniels. CNN can spend days and days on it. Or we can spend days and days on whether or not President Trump's inauguration had more people than President Obama's. But yet, when we have the Russian collusion investigation starting, we have nobody talking about how it is so clear that Christopher Steele is getting his information from Russian intelligence, and it is necessarily, and this is before the recent revelations, it has to be disinformation. We know that. I picked up that Steele dossier and I looked at it. I said, this has to be disinformation. If you were two doors down the hall from Vladimir Putin and you picked up the phone and told Christopher Steele about this actual conspiracy between Trump and Putin, how long do you think your life would last?
Exactly.
Or let's put it this way. How long would your face stay on after you had your Cheerios that morning and ate polonium 210? You're not going to. It made no sense whatsoever. And it was that way. And it was just very clear. Now, and also it was done, obviously, as a defensive ploy for Hillary's emails. Now, let's go further. Let's talk about Ukraine. Let me stay on Russia. You have a guy named Joseph Misfood, which everybody says is the Maltese professor with Russian ties. A 12-year-old person taking 10 minutes on the internet would find that Joseph Misfood was Western intelligence and the best friend of Claire Smith, the UK's person in charge of vetting security and looking at agents. Obviously, Western intelligence through the FBI was planting people in there. It's all obvious. Let me switch to Ukraine very quickly. Ukraine, how can possibly one look at Ukraine and not see what's going on there? Here you are. you have probably 4 years where Biden is the point man on Ukraine, and you have $5.6 billion, I'm going to say that with a B, billion dollars being taken right out from under his nose, and nothing is happening. We've heard a lot about Burisma. He didn't do anything about Burisma, and Burisma got swept under the carpet.
Right.
But there's a guy named Igor Kolomoisky who was part owner of Burisma, and he took $5.6 billion and got away with it and stayed in the country. Nobody did anything to him. And J.D., when did, and this is known to the press, when did he leave the country? When did Kolomoisky decide maybe he ought to hightail it out of Ukraine since he'd stolen $5.6 billion? I'm not making this up. It's obvious. It's documented. He took it. He owned the biggest private bank in Ukraine, and he just took it out of there. And it was all out of American foreign aid. It was our money. Now, he left the country late 2016, early 2017. His bank was finally taken over by the government early 2017. What event do you think caused that for him to all of a sudden leave and to quit stealing and to just get out of Dodge? It happens to be at a time when Joe Biden gets out of power. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, what happens 3 years later when Zelensky gets elected? Well, Zelensky's main supporter is a guy named Igor Kolomoisky. And guess what happens? When, as soon as he gets elected, Kolomoisky comes back into the country, and all the IMF people and the State Department people are going crazy. You wouldn't know that from our press, but they're all saying, Zelensky, you better stay away from Kolomoisky. He's the most corrupt guy in the world. Now, who represented Igor Kolomoisky during those 4 years? Hunter Biden and his company, Devin Archer. They were the ones that were protecting Burisma. They were protecting Igor Kolomoisky and a guy named Mykola Zlakevsky. The worst guys. And
now Archer's in trouble too. They're about ready to lock his ass up as well.
Right, right. And he's just in there. He's probably the brains. He probably actually does work, whereas the other two guys don't do any work. But yes. So all these guys are taking money out with both hands, and yet nobody does anything. Nobody says anything. And what do? The press is so bad that when this happens, they now jump on Trump for wanting to root out corruption. Our State Department talking point said Trump was supposed to tell Zelensky, please root out corruption. Tell Zelensky to root out corruption. The IMF wanted Zelensky to go after Kolomoisky. Kolomoisky is Hunter Biden's guy. Remember that. Hunter Biden's guy. And now when Trump does that, guess what happens? He gets impeached. Mm-hmm. And with the support of our media, none of this can happen without the media. So yep. What happens is now Kolomoisky, now Ukraine has gone over to Russian influence because they're not going to get any more money from the IMF. Kolomoisky's stolen all the money he can steal. Because of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, who is sharing in the lucre, we know that from those text messages. He's getting half of everything Hunter's getting. We have lost a very vital part of our national security. We've lost Ukraine, which is the breadbasket of that part of the world. The pipeline goes through it, and it's the buffer between Europe and Russia. It's highly significant. Because of this corruption, we've lost Ukraine. Because of our corruption, we have not really fought Russia. And now, meanwhile, one more thing, and I'll shut up for a second, JD. How tough can Joe Biden be on China when his son owns a piece of an investment fund that probably, if you were to sell it on the open market, it's probably worth a couple hundred million dollars. It's probably gives off 30 or 40 million for his share. Not for everybody's share, but just for his share. that I think his father's getting half of. Now, so what we have is we have China owning Joe Biden. We have Russia owning Joe Biden, and I think they gave him some money too.
$3.5 million.
$3.5 million. And we also have Kolomoisky saying, we have no choice now but to have Ukraine pivot to Russian influence. So we've lost Ukraine. We've lost Russia. By the way, Hillary Clinton, of course, sold all that uranium to Putin, which gave him, he uses strategic geopolitical weaponry to gain power, and uranium is part of that. So what we have, because of Joe Biden's corruption, and it's very clear when you read those emails that he's in on it, this is not something that G. Jr. went out and did. He didn't know about it. Oh, you naughty boy. China, Russia, Ukraine. How about that? Our world is less safe, and we have lost $20 billion in Ukraine. I mean, that's just, maybe that's chump change today, $20 billion here, $20 billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money. But all this comes, JD, and this is my point that you made so well, our media. And it all started with Watergate. And what happened when the Post defrauded all of us as to Richard Nixon and got him out of office? Rather than being caught up and exposed, they were given Pulitzer Prizes. They had hit books, movies. Young people wanted to get out of college and go get the nasty conservatives. And that's what we have. And we have a one-sided, and I think Attorney General Barr said, we have a one-sided monolithic media that only reports one side of the, this is the mainstream media, one side of what's happening. And so the bottom line is, not to be Mr. Pollyanna tonight, but you cannot have a democracy. As the Post masthead said, democracy dies in darkness. We have a media where people are so afraid if they go off this beaten path and say something that's honest, their careers are through. We, our democracy, if it is not dead yet, the Grim Reaper is very briskly walking toward us now. And God help us, now Joe Biden and his company want to have a truth squad, a ministry of truth, like Orwell said, to make sure that these conservatives don't say these terrible things that they're doing on the internet. So what do we have? We have a one-party rule that's coming up, and we're not even going to be able to get, it's hard enough to get information as it is from the mainstream press. Now we're not even going to get it from good guys like you, from good internet sites. And this is an existential crisis. I love that word, it's overused, but in this case, it is perfectly, perfectly apropos of what's going on. And I thank you. That's why I love your show so much, because you're one of the guys that has hit it right on the button. Because if we don't have information, we do not have a democracy. And the Post says that democracy dies in darkness. How right they are.
They're the ones that blew the light out, for Christ's sake.
They're the ones who started it. Now, In defense of them, if you read my book, Postgate, they sort of had to do this because the DNC was referring naughty boys from out of town to naughty girls down the street. And if they really told the truth, the CIA was behind the whole thing. But if they told the truth about the CIA, they'd be blowing the whistle on this, on the DNC. They hated the Republicans, so why not go after the Republicans? The CIA was quite happy to keep it quiet as well. So there was a reason for them to be fraudulent in Watergate. But what's interesting was it was so successful that people today talk about, oh, what wonderful, wonderful reporting. I'm here to tell you, JD, it's fraud. Read my book. You cannot read my book and say that this was anything other than one of the biggest frauds perpetrated on the American public. It is the only time a president has left office under duress, and yet it was based upon fraud. This thing had nothing to do with the campaign. There were a couple of junior lieutenants who knew that there was some girly talk going on. They went along with the CIA, but basically it had nothing to do with the campaign. And
like we pointed out last time you were on, John, The thing is, it made no sense for a presidential campaign that was poised to win the biggest landslide in American presidential politics history to put itself at jeopardy with some petty break-in of quote unquote bugging the DNC office for information. Totally unnecessary, even if they were behind and they were way ahead. So none of this ever made any sense. And the interesting thing is they sold it anyway, and they couldn't have done that without the willing accomplices in the American press.
Right. And let me go you one further. The phone they were listening to was not even a DNC phone. It was a phone. The reason they listened to it is because it was a subsidiary outfit that had nothing to do with the campaign. It's the Association of Democratic Governors. But it had a private phone, so all the better to call up the girlies on, and it didn't go through the switchboard. But it made no sense. The DNC had no information at the time. Larry O'Brien, the Post still talks about, oh, they must have been listening to Larry O'Brien, who was the director of the DNC at the time. Larry O'Brien wasn't even in town. He wasn't in town. There's nobody in town. They didn't even get close to Larry O'Brien's office. And the Post knew this. They knew that the cameras were set up in a part of the office that had nothing to do with nothing other than this girly situation, but they never reported it. So in my book, I talk about all the things they didn't report and how they did it and how this became a template. Because remember, one of the things that lawyers know is that the way you commit fraud is by concealment. Now, in our business, if your client is concealing something, the other side sure as heck is going to figure it out. The jury will, the judge will, and you better make sure that your client makes a clean breast of it or you're in trouble. But if you have a press, which doesn't have a judge or a jury, you just can print any damn thing you want. You don't need to do that. And they figured that out in Watergate. No one is going to hold us accountable.
And not only that, that has morphed into this phenomenon now where the DNC and or the press, which is they're inextricable at this point, in my opinion, when the scandal such as the Joe Biden or the Hunter Biden laptop comes to light and they're asked about it, they say, oh, that's been debunked. And my question is, debunked by who? Because nobody is asking the questions except for alternative media.
They always say that. They always say, oh, it's debunked or it's old news.
Everybody that's looked at that says that's not true. That's just a lie.
And then, of course, the angrier you get, the better off you are. Oh, my God. Anybody who would say that is terrible. So people are afraid. Well, I don't want to say that. I don't want people yelling at me like I'm some kind of a right-wing nut. Last thing you want to be. You ever hear anybody talk about left-wing nuts? No, all the nuts are conservative nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a conservative nut.
Or those evil libertarians are people that don't have any party affiliation, right? So here's what we're going to do. Hang on for a minute, John. I want your opinion on this. I'm going to go ahead and try and play this video.
About a week away from the 2020 election, Democrat Party nominee Joe Biden is in desperate denial of the fact that he is now the central character in the most despicable corruption scandal in American history. The subversion of the U.S. government by communist China is being exposed. A group of Chinese whistleblowers managed to get a hard drive containing evidence of serious crimes committed by the Biden family into the hands of Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani. Lewd Media claimed a month ago that a hard drive would surface before the election containing videos of Hunter Biden violently raping Chinese children. Those who have seen the videos support this claim. To any good person, this is shocking and horrific. And to many, it is incomprehensible. But for as long as man has had power to gain, the art of blackmail has been exploited. This was the purpose of a man like Jeffrey Epstein. According to Lewd Media, these child rape videos of Hunter Biden were produced by the communist Chinese as a means of control and were being sent to the Biden family and other CCP assets in America as a threat, a reminder of who owns them. There are no rules in the game of power, only ruthlessness. And so children become the currency of those who seek to control others. Former business partner of the Biden family, Tony Bobulinski, worked as CEO for Sinohawk Holdings, a company formed by the Bidens and China's largest private energy company. Bobulinski has provided evidence that shows Sinohawk was used to funnel millions of dollars from the communist Chinese directly into the family coffers of the Bidens. The mainstream media, in what must certainly be a criminal act, has been ignoring this incredible story while pushing their audience into voting for a decrepit, lying, perverted fraud with a monstrous family and loyalty to the communist Chinese. We likely know what's coming next. The Democrat Party will claim that Trump stole the election. The corporate media will play along. And those still brainwashed by the globalist-run propaganda media machine will undoubtedly believe it. With massive crowds of people all over the country showing overwhelming grassroots support for President Trump in ways never before seen, contrasted with Joe Biden and Obama at public events practically devoid of all people, the media will still say that Trump had to steal the election. They will cite their fake polls, and the brainwashed sheep will believe them. If justice is served, which needs to happen, then there will be arrests of powerful people, and the corporate media will report that Trump is literally Hitler, rounding up the innocent, and the brainwashed sheep will believe them. There is no doubt. If they can be made to wear masks and fear those who don't, then they will believe whatever they are told. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Humanity is awakening, but not everyone. The brainwashed are being manipulated into defending the corrupt deep state establishment. Some are even murdering Trump supporters in cold blood. It seems clear that Trump will win the 2020 election. But then what? If the corporate mainstream media is allowed to operate as normal, then there will be total chaos. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
All right, so there you have it. You know, we don't shy away from reports like that, John, because they're sourced from InfoWars. Because let me tell you something. I used to be the biggest critic of InfoWars for 20 years. But in the last 5 years, I've noticed InfoWars is the cutting edge of news. They usually come out a week or two or three ahead of everyone else with a story that if they're willing to say it. Now, well, InfoWars gets some things wrong sometimes, too. But they're about the only media source to say, hey, you know what? We got that wrong. I would rather have an information source that is willing to, go ahead and take a chance and tell us stuff. And then if it's wrong, retract it, than somebody that is afraid to come out with it to begin with. And especially now, it's so critical to get, any information that people are willing to, give us about. Because the establishment, even Fox News, is utterly afraid to come up forward with a lot of the stuff, except for maybe Tucker Carlson and a few others. And there's some other ugly stuff coming out on the Biden family that it's not going to be able to be held back. It's salacious as hell. I hope it's not true. But if Joe Biden was a regular guy without miles and miles of footage of him sniffing little girls and putting his hands where they don't belong in public on camera, it wouldn't be so believable, the things that are coming out now. And I don't know if it's true or not. I pray it's not true, to be honest with you, even though Joe Biden, to me, is the enemy. But it's believable because of his record. What say you, John?
Well, here's things that if you talk about all this girly stuff and everything, that pales in comparison to the investments that are being made by, and I think it's called the Bohai Harvest Fund that Hunter Biden is part of with the Chinese. And because of his name, they have been able to buy companies and technology in the United States that are military technology. They have bought companies that are really, you know, the same way Hillary sold Uranium One. Well, there are these other companies, like there's a precision, I just don't know their name, a precision tool company that they bought that makes military guidance systems. There are many things that they've done in that regard that are really, really scary. Now, the other thing we don't know is this bit about a couple million bucks here, a couple millions there for Hunter, that's chump change. When you think about the fact that part of the heavy lifting is done through what Hunter said in one of these emails, BSF, that's Boies Schiller Flexner, a very good law firm, very prestigious, but the amount of things that they're doing and Hunter's getting a rake off there, that could be hundreds of millions of dollars. So we're talking about some very serious purchases of technology and of companies that will never be able to reverse it. Remember, this goes back to Bill Clinton. Before Bill Clinton left office, he allowed Bernard Schwartz of Loral, a big contributor, to sell missile guidance systems to China. That was a huge deal.
Yes.
Now, I think, and that's nothing compared to what they're doing now. That's nothing.
Right. And I made the commentary back then that why do we care about what's happening under the desk in the Oval Office is what the stuff that Bill Clinton is up to with the missile guidance systems and the foreign campaign contributions and the leasing of the Long Beach naval port to the Chinese and the Heritage Act stealing our lands and giving the sovereignty of it to the UN. All of these things, to me, were the impeachable offenses during the Clinton administration. But what got the attention of the public? A sex scandal. And it's going to be the same way with Biden.
Monica's missile guidance system wasn't as important as the real missile guidance system. And it's really terrible that you think about it. And because of what Obama and Biden did, Russia now has a base on the Mediterranean. We're not making this up. They took away all the missiles that were pointed from Czechoslovakia and Poland toward Russia. We took those out for nothing. We allowed them to march into the Crimea.
Exactly.
They're now taking over eastern Ukraine. This whole thing, we are so weak, we are getting pinched by both sides of our geopolitical rivals. And see, whenever you bribe people, the cost is cheap compared to the benefit you get. I think back when Jim Wright, the congressman, sold out the SNLs, he did it for $100,000. Somebody paid him $100,000 for some books that weren't really books. And it cost us $2 trillion. So a little bit of graft hurts us in multifold ways. And that's what's happening now. Our country has gotten so weak because of the Biden's corruption. And now the press, with all this proof that's come out showing that Joe was in on it and he was getting half of Hunter's pay and was clearly talking to these guys, was clearly in the middle of it, was clearly giving advice, and so forth, was clearly protecting Slokhevsky and Kolomoisky. And none of that's being reported. And it gets right to the heart of our national security. Forget about the money. We're
exactly
so far now. doesn't make any difference.
Yes, it's the national security. If Biden becomes the president, he is owned by all of our foreign enemies, actually. China has the dirt on him. Russia has the dirt on him. Ukraine has the dirt on him. He will not be his own man. There's no way he can govern this nation. He couldn't even, like Barack Obama, couldn't even get a security clearance.
Think about this, JD. Think if China said, you know something, Joe, I didn't like what you did the other day. We're going to pull all the money out of this $2 billion investment fund because we don't really think we're aligned anymore. You have just taken from him annual income of somewhere between $5 and $10 million a year that probably over time, you know, capitalized is worth a couple $100 million. You own him when you do that. You own him. And remember this, once he cut that deal, I don't even remember the clip where Biden said to some audience, come on, man, China's not our competitor. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's right after they do this deal. Right. So now what about good old Vladimir Putin? Oh, yeah. And of course, it's Trump that's supposedly cozying up to Vladimir because Hillary is so tough. Listen, they own Hillary because of the compromise. Remember, we rounded up 10 Russian spies that knew all about Hillary, and they got her, them out of the country so fast, our heads were spinning. They tried not to get any information from them. Russia knows so much about Hillary and what she did that they own her, and they own the entire administration, which included Joe Biden. And what's this 3.5 million? So we're really, they've got us, they've got them. And there's no way. Now think about it. Now we're in the South China Sea, and China's going to now make a provocation and take a few more of those islands and build them up, even though they're controversial. Maybe they are owned by the Philippines, but they're right there controlling that part of the world. Is Joe Biden going to do anything about that? Of course not.
Absolutely not.
So what do we have here, JD? I mean, I think we have a situation here that is dire. And if this election is not won by Trump, this country, I mean, we all act like, oh, our country could never end. We could never lose our democracy. Well, that's what the Romans said, I think, and some other societies said that. And eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And we ain't vigilant. And the people that are supposed to be vigilant are who? Your favorites, the mainstream media.
That's who right. Should be vigilant. And John, this is, we say this, it sounds like we're a broken record because we say it every election cycle. This is the most important election in the history of this country because that has been escalating exponentially every single election cycle. And now we're at critical mass because if Trump, the first outsider we've had in the White House for decades, this guy is not owned by the banking fraternity and the other New World Order elements. Trump is his own person. He's a real president. He's the first time we've had one in quite some time, sir.
Yeah, and what the press does a great job of, and I've just been reading Brian Stelter's book, which makes me sick to my stomach, but basically he equates, as do all these people, that anyone who actually wants an orderly immigration system, which I'm in favor of, I love the Mexican people and the Central Americans, I just want an orderly system. It's we're all racist. We're terrible. We're racist to do anything like that. And so what we have is we have a press that tries to make Trump the worst guy that has ever come down the pike. And never, never, never do they give him credit where credit is due. And it's really a shame because we just, how can we have a system where most people don't know what's up?
Well, that unfortunately is where we find ourselves today, John. And I don't know if most people, but at least over half, so I guess most, don't know what's really going on. The question remains, is the rate of people waking up to this sufficient enough within the next 9 days to turn the tide on this election. And I happen to think it is. I'm a little bit optimistic. I think that President Trump is going to win this election. Now, they're going to contest it, even if he won 90% of the popular vote. The left has already telegraphed what their plan of attack is by virtue of Hillary Clinton going out in public multiple times and saying Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances. That is a quote. Who on earth says something like that? Who is on the up and up? No one who is honest would say such a statement.
Well, they know that what's happening is there are so many millions of ballots that have come from nowhere. We know in California alone, and this is, I'm not making this up, this is just a statistic. There are 2 million ballots that we know were mailed out to people who don't live there anymore. Now, does somebody pick, it's not that hard. If you get, if you're a harvester and you get $8 to $10 per signature, isn't that a pretty good business for you? Now multiply that out. Now, California doesn't make any difference because California's going to be, I mean, I think I'm the only guy in the state that's going to vote Republican, but in other states, you think about that, they're sending out these ballots willy-nilly, not like the regular absentee situation where somebody requests it under penalty of perjury. This is me. I will vote. If you have that or the service, military service people, we don't have that. So we're going to have these millions of ballots. The Democrats have 660 lawyers ready to go. I got to say this for the Democrats. They have a lot of lawyers. That's one of their big deals. They're big on trial lawyers, and they're also big on deep staters. So you put all those things together, and they're big on the press. I think we've got a big storm coming. I just hope that at least, there is something to fight over come election day. At least it looks like Trump may have won. If that happens, I will be very happy. And I'll probably pack my briefcase and go wherever they want me to go to litigate this thing.
And we will be glad to have you in that capacity once again, sir. Now, I got to say this. If I were king, or if I were able to cause a constitutional amendment to happen, I would amend the Constitution thusly. Election day would be election day. Now, when it comes to federal election, and you're sending a representative of the House or a senator or election of a president, election day would be election day. It would start at midnight and end at midnight. Be 24 hours. You would vote in person on a paper ballot after presenting a valid photograph ID. You would have to have registered in advance every single election cycle. Every 2 years, you purge the voter rolls completely in the federal capacity, and you have to re-register. And if you did that, a Democrat would never win another election in a federal capacity in this country, in my opinion.
Well, the only problem with your ID, JD, is it makes way too much sense, and it sounds like it's way too fair. And so that will be fought tooth and nail because people would say, oh, you're suppressing the vote.
Yeah, that's BS. And the other argument they hit me with, John, is, well, that's against the 10th Amendment. No, it isn't. I didn't say anything about your state elections. You want to corrupt your own state elections for your state house and your state senate or your state assembly, whatever the case may be, or your governor. Who cares how you hold that election? I'm talking about when your state affects the rest of the country. I'm not saying centralized voting. I'm saying standardized voting. And there's a huge difference.
And also, federal, if you limit it to federal voting, that's the key. And I think you can have a federal law that affects federal voting. And, you know, we used to watch the poll back when I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office. We used to go have poll watchers and all that. All that's gone by the boards. It's chaotic. They don't let people in there to watch. And who knows what's going on? I'm afraid of all these ballots that are going to get harvested. You're going to find many more ballots than there are people who voted. Let me put it that way.
Well, they already, where was it? One county in somewhere on the Eastern Seaboard, they already sent out three tranches of 150,000 ballots to the same because they said, oh, the first one had a mistake. So they sent out another tranche and they had something else wrong with them. And then they sent out the third that was supposed to be right. Now, you're going to tell me that everybody's going to sit there and differentiate the minor changes in all those ballots that were out there? No, there's three times as many ballots out there as there's supposed to be. And not only that, they're doing it in states that never did mail-in ballot before. Now, the fact that they're doing it in Florida doesn't scare me. They've been doing it for two decades down there. They've pretty much got some safeguards built into their mail-in ballot system. Same thing with the state of Arizona, where I live. We've been doing mail-in voting for a while. There are some safeguards built in, although we did change our main county. Maricopa County has a county attorney who is now a Soros-funded lawyer who defended the Fast and Furious gun smugglers. That's now who is in charge of elections in Maricopa County, Arizona. Isn't that special?
Well, you know something, there are some ballots, and I'm not sure if it's true of every state, but I've seen ballots where you can look at the outside of the ballot and it will say Republican or R if it's a Republican. So if you've got a mail carrier that doesn't like Republicans, some of those might get lost. Now, I fear for this whole thing, and we do need a much better voting. We can't have voting 2 months ahead of the election. Too much is happening. It ruins the whole idea of the campaign. And we've gone so far afield from our original intent here that it's absurd. So
it is. And you know what else about that? That was a point that I made last week. Early voting. Now that this Biden stuff is broke, if you're a Democrat and you're not a hard left Trump hater, Trump derangement syndrome type, and now you heard this stuff about Joe Biden and you didn't know it before, and you there's whole troves of people are talking on social media, how do I change my vote? They want to change your vote. Guess what, folks? You voted early. No way to change your vote. There should be no such thing as early voting. It's absolutely absurd. It's anti-American. It is totally asinine, considering the rate at which our life changes in this day and age. 6 hours is now an eternity in politics, and you can't vote early. What is the matter with people? I don't get it, man.
You tell me, but the problem is, in order to change that, if in fact the Democrats win this election, things will get worse, not better, in terms of the rules, because you'll now have 54 senators, probably. You'll have, who knows what's going to happen. I think you need an amendment at least to change the Electoral College, but you're going to find all kinds of changes here. You're going to have court packing. So I despair for where this country is going now. And of course, fiscal solvency is something we have to deal with. And it's hard enough, I got to say, and I'm not real pleased with where we've gone ourselves. But I'll tell you this, if the Democrats are in control, we're in real trouble here. So then we become a third world country. And once our currency is no longer dominant, we're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. And, you know, John, this thing with the idea that voting is something that you shouldn't be educated about. I know you can't have poll testing, all right? But, you know, the fact that somebody that is so uninformed can negate somebody that really does pay attention's vote is the nature of the democratic element of our republic. So we have to live with that. And how we were supposed to be able to combat that is a free and fair press that is willing to inform the general public. That is supposed to overcome the uneducated element of voting.
Well, also originally, and I know this sounds terrible to say it now, but originally the whole idea was you shouldn't be able to vote unless you showed that you had some stake in the outcome. That is to say, you owned some property, you had something in which you were trying to preserve or protect. Otherwise, why shouldn't everybody who had nothing go tax everybody else who had something? So that's why the the poll tax, or at least the property requirement. Now, the poll tax sounds like that's anti-black, so therefore I'm not in favor of it. But I do think there is something to be said for making sure that people who vote sort of somehow show themselves to be worthy citizens. Now, I don't know that that ship has probably sailed. It's probably an old-fashioned idea. But the problem is, in a democracy, you can't have people voting who don't have any stake in it, and who can, if there are enough of them, just say, okay, we want the stuff the other people have. And that's where we're going here. I mean, think about the idea of reparations. Think about a wealth tax. You know, you work your head off your whole life, and now I think I'll take some of it. Why don't I vote to take some of that?
It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. And here's what I have come up over the years is kind of a compromise between the property owner idea and everybody votes free for all is two things. If you pay taxes, you get a vote. But with an exception, if you work for the federal government, you're employed by the federal government. Well, guess what? While you're employed by the federal government, you don't get to vote in federal elections. You know why? Because that's a conflict or a potential conflict of interest. Same thing should go for your state, your local government. If you work for the city, you don't get to vote in city elections because it's a potential conflict of interest, whether you're paying taxes or not. I don't think if you have a stake in the outcome, you should be able to determine. It should be neutral parties determining whether they're doing a good job or not, not the people signing your paycheck and you get to vote for that. That's just my idea, but, you know, I'm not king.
It's not a bad idea. The whole idea.
Say that again?
It's not a bad idea, and it's the whole idea that federal government workers can then negotiate with some other federal government workers who are assigned to determine how much they get paid. Wait a second. Where are the people in all this? It's the workers negotiating with workers who are designated to negotiate. So we have this problem. And of course, I hate to say, but it's worse on the state level. I mean, California is a ridiculous state for that reason.
Yeah. In case you guys don't know, we're talking with Mr. John O'Connor, who's a former U.S. attorney, right?
Right.
And author of the new book, Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, that's key right there, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. And I think he's being charitable with that subtitle because, what they're doing today goes beyond partisan advocacy. It goes right into subversion and sedition and outright deceit of the American public. So that's my opinion.
Well, I don't discount that. I just don't want to say everybody is like that.
I agree.
But you know, you may be right 95%.
Well, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's enough of it. It makes me want to smash my television set every time I listen to just about every channel.
I struggled with that title because I thought about just I don't think it's fair to the people that are just idiots, that are group thinkers, that are just simply partisan and write down what the next guy tells them to. And that's what you get with a lot of these young kids. They can't think for themselves. Their critical thinking skills have diminished with all these courses they get in college, critical race theory, critical gender, critical this, critical that. Anytime you have critical in front of a course name, it means you're being taught not to think critically. So these people get out of there and they don't know up from down. And that's sort of the sad part of it. So I don't want to call them willingly fraudulent. You know, I just think it's just too bad. It's a result of our system.
And our system has been sabotaged in a planned manner. People think that this is just happenstance. No, this is a plan of the people that are in control of the bigger systems behind the scenes that run the politics of the world. This is not an accidental thing that has happened to our schools. It's not an accident that 85 or 90% of our professors teach Marxism and multiculturalism and all these other isms that are nothing but disease to the American body politic. That's not an accident. This is a plan. And I wish people could wrap their brain around that. But apparently nobody wants to listen to, you know, nutcases like me.
Well, I'll tell you this. It is the case that the people on the left are so certain of their wisdom and correctness. And they are so imbued with the notion that anyone who thinks the other way is evil. Once you get that, you almost don't need any top-down control. You've got people that are out there, they're acolytes, and they're going to act accordingly. And if you say something, when I tried to get an agent for my book, I called up a woman who was well known for publishing all these Watergate books. And I called her up and I gave her an email and I said, hey, I'm going to write a Watergate book about the Watergate press. She called me up in about 3 seconds. She was so excited. John, tell me about it. And I said, well, I'm going to talk about how the Washington Post wasn't truthful in its reporting. Click.
Yeah, there goes your publicist, right?
There goes. And that's the way those people think. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. It's almost like, I was a Catholic school kid. It's almost like, you know, you're saying that, you know, Jesus is the devil. And so you can't, you know, that's sort of the way they are. It's very religious. They have lost all regular religion and they have a secular religion and they believe in it and they believe they're correct. And,
you know, there's another element to it, John, if you think about it. I'm no psychologist, but I've been around the planet a little bit, and I've observed human behavior. And part of human behavior is human ego. And these people in positions of disseminating information, they have their minds set on what is right and who is the truth tellers and who aren't the truth tellers. And if you come up with information, it does not matter how credible your evidence is. If you come up with contrary information, their ego will not allow them to accept that as reality, and they're going to dismiss you out of hand, out of human ego.
And one other thing, JD, in on the traditional side of the ledger, I don't even call it conservative, I just call it the traditional side. We all like the idea of debate. That's the way we got where we are. Marketplace of ideas. Tell me your idea, and I'll tell you why I think mine's better. But the other side does not believe even in that healthy debate. It is wrong to debate, because if you debate, you are then giving some sort of a credence to these terrible, evil people. And so what you have is, that's how you get the cancel culture. That's how you get people keeping speakers from speaking at Speakers Bureau. So one side of the equation is quite happy to have a debate and let freedom ring and let the truth come out and let people decide as they will. One side doesn't. And so that's where we have. We can't have a system in which one side won't debate. You know, so.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about that is they dismiss out of hand anything contrary. In other words, the novel idea is not allowed. It's not accepted. It's not permitted. The novel concept is not even considered, because if it's not part of the groupthink lexicon, not part of the zeitgeist of the accepted norms of the left, and not liberal. This is one thing I want people to understand, because we have been trapped by our great, beautiful, wonderful people such as Rush Limbaugh, such as Sean Hannity. We're programmed by these guys, our buddies, to think that left equals liberal. This is totally wrong. Listen to Dennis Prager. He explains it better than anybody. Left, liberal is so far from, it can be left and it can be right. Liberal is independent political element from left-right spectrum. Left is government control, iron-fisted rule. That's left. Liberal is not necessarily that.
I think I'm a liberal. I think I'm a liberal. I'm a 60s liberal. A liberal believes in enlightenment values of free speech, free thought, free ideas, free contracts, debating, So I consider myself a liberal. And as a matter of fact, there's very little a difference between modern conservatives and classic liberalism. We're almost giving them a break by calling them liberals. They're not really liberals at all. They're authoritarian progressives.
Not only is that ultimately true, but the ego of the leftists admits this, i.e. Hillary Clinton, about a decade ago, is famous for saying, "I'm not a liberal, I'm a progressive." She made the distinction. Our side apparently doesn't want to change the nomenclature back to what it ought to be, but the same guy gave us the term, words mean things. Rush, before you leave us on this wonderful planet, Rush, will you please straighten this out? Because I know that you know these things.
That's a good point. Let's start calling a spade a spade. Let's start calling them authoritarians or progressives, but not liberal. Because liberal is too nice a word to describe it. They're not liberal at all. When people spew hate and division just for someone who's sincerely stating a point of view, that's not America, that's not liberalism, and it certainly isn't tolerance. I read a good article in the Journal the other day where they talked about how this thing started with the new leftists, and the new leftists came up with this idea of what they call liberating tolerance. That is to say, you should only be tolerant for those things that are liberating. If you're tolerant for other things, then that's repressive tolerance, and we can't be repressive. So you can't allow certain ideas because you're being repressive. Or go back to Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who said, if people don't go along with the general will, we have to force them to be free. Think about it. Force them to be free. And that's what's happening on the other side. They're trying to force us to be free. They only want certain types of tolerance, but the tolerance for their ideas, not the tolerance for the wrong ideas. And that is a disease in a culture that was built on freedom of speech, free ideas, all the Enlightenment values that were so strongly held by Madison and Jefferson and the whole crew.
What you can do is play a game with that word culture and take the chur off it. They changed culture into a cult. That's exactly what they did.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, that's for sure.
Well, John, you've been more than generous with your time once again. We're about 15 minutes over. We're talking to Mr. John O'Connor, former U.S. attorney, assistant U.S. attorney in Northern California, representing the United States in criminal and civil cases back in the day. He's been around a long time. He's an investigative reporter. He's a lawyer. He's a journalist. He is an author of the great book, Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. Final thoughts from Mr. John O'Connor.
We have to speak loudly and clearly that the media is not telling us the truth. We must be very resolute in that, and we must not shy from telling the truth.
Thank you, Mr. John O'Connor, and I hope that our discussion helps people understand that, you know, although alternative media is not perfect, they are willing to put things out there you're not going to get in the mainstream media. So I encourage everyone to listen to shows like this. Go to band.video, read John O'Connor's book, Postgate. You will get some insight you can't get by watching Fox News. Thank you once again, John O'Connor.
Thank you, JD. It's been a blast. You've been a great show.
Thanks for being here, sir. We're going to do it again. We'll see you later, sir. All right, Mr. John O'Connor, you guys, thank you for, we went about 15 minutes over with that. So I'm going to take a little break here. I'm going to play some creepy music for you while I take a little bit of break, and we'll come back and we'll get some of your comments. And then we'll get your comments and maybe some of your phone calls. If you want to call in, we can do that. Anyway, I'll return in just a little bit. Let me play a little creepy music for you if I can find it. Here we go. This one's called Reptilian. I shall return. Oh, yeah. Really creepy stuff there from my good buddy, Chris Armstrong, who has a PhD in African drumming. I went to high school with this guy. He's one of those guys that you can't quite figure out. He was an interesting guy. He writes some pretty scary music that I use for Halloween a lot of time. Anyway, we're back on Article 5 Live. I'm JD, your host. You just heard a very lengthy interview and go around with Mr. John O'Connor, author of the book Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. And I gotta say, some of the things that are going on are not being covered by our journalists. Our journalists are not journalists. Our journalists are the propaganda arm of they're the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. So this is very troublesome indeed. And I want to see if that video will... I'm not going to do it because my soundboard is messed up for some reason. I'd have to shut down everything and bring it back up to change the settings, and I'm not going to do that. But I want you to go to band.video and check out Greg Reese's report, which talks about the revelations on the Hunter Biden laptop that are not being talked about by even the people that are willing to talk about what's on there. And then the new report, which came out yesterday, Patrick Howley of National File has attained a copy of Joe Biden's daughter's diary, where she outlines where she believes she was molested and had inappropriate showers with Joe Biden. Now, this is not unimportant, but stuff we don't want to know about. But if we know about it, the Chinese know about it, the Russians know about it, the Kazakhs know about it, the Ukrainians know about it, and God knows how many other countries that he sold and peddled the influence of the United States government to while he was in office as VP and while he was a senator in the United States Senate, Joe Biden. That is. So we can't have these kind of people at the helm of our country. We don't want our CEO of the United States of America to be compromised in such a manner. Why do I have to say that? Because nobody else will. Joe Biden is no freaking good. He wasn't very sharp at his best. Now he has some degree of cognitive disease. Who knows what's the matter with him? I'm not a doctor, but it doesn't take a genius to figure out he's not as sharp as he used to be, okay? And it's a drastic reduction in his cognitive abilities. So that coupled with the fact that now we know how compromised he is. He is a criminal, and we have a news media that won't report on it, and we're about to install him as president of the United States. Red freaking alert! Wake up! This is absolutely a nightmare of the largest order. Now, those of us that are on our side that are friends of President Trump and admirers of Trump and realize that Trump is doing the right thing and we know that God actually made the way for him to become president to save the United States of America are holding on to the hope that enough of you out there understand what in the hell's going on that we're going to be able to hold on to our president. And by extension, hold on to our country. I'm not so damn confident after I see what I see in the media. The media is why we had 8 years of Barack Obama. They did not vet this man. Sean Hannity was screaming from the rooftop for a year before the election. You listened to Barack Obama on the stump months before the 2008 election, and he sounded like a conservative Republican. This is how he got elected. Sure as hell didn't govern that way, did he? We already know how Trump will govern. We already know how, we actually don't know how Biden will govern. Biden gets elected, he'll govern however the Chinese, the Russians, the Kazakhs, and the Ukrainians tell him to govern. That's how he'll govern. And we don't necessarily know how that is. But we do know it will be against the interest of the United States of America. I beg of you, get to the polls. We have to have 90 to 95% turnout. We cannot afford to have any registered voters sit this one out. Get to the polls. Get to the polls in person. Put your paper ballot into the ballot counter. This is our only hope. We have to overcome 20 to 25% fraud. The only way to do that is massive, massive turnout. It's all hands on deck. Listen, I'm gone completely commercial free with this show. I've made sure that we get all the time. If we survive this election, the show goes on. We're going to have commercials. We're going to be a regular show. We're going to have the regular break structure, all that kind of stuff. But this is like a special report every time we get somebody on where we're just going to go and talk things that people need to be thinking about. So I apologize to the podcast listeners. I know that the audio's messed up. I have to completely reconfigure my studio in order to somehow configure, get the sound from the other side of the USB interface to be included. I guess I got to add a server. That's what I need to do. I need to have a server here in this studio. And if I bring everything through the server, everything will work just fine. That's what I probably end up going to do. So anyhow, I appreciate everyone putting up with my limited broadcast engineer, experience. Hopefully, I'm getting a little bit better at bringing you stuff on the fly when things go wrong. I hope you enjoyed Greg Reese's report found on band.video. Go and see what's happening, because band.video will actually tell you what's happening. If you think you're going to get informed by watching Fox News or any of the other idiotic networks, it's not going to happen. There's too much good old boy investment in those networks. They're scared of the truth. Many of them are compromised themselves and can't tell you the truth if they wanted to. They're trying to kill a lot of people who are telling the truth. So you can't actually, many of us listen to the X-22 report, whether you believe everything on that or not, but he was taken off. The X-22's gone. He might have come back by now, but I know they took him off. They banned Alex Jones from all social media platforms first. But you know what? He's still out there on 200 and some odd television stations and 250 some odd radio stations. He's on shortwave, 40 meters. He's still on 7.12, I think it is. Shortwave, he's still there. He's still on Infowars.com, band.video. He still has millions and millions and millions of listeners every week, even though they deplatformed him on all of his platforms. They have cranked down on this show, so, nobody that are friends of the show and follow the pages and all that, they don't get any notifications. So most of the people that listen to this broadcast don't realize we're out here yet. We're going to fix that. We're gonna get major in gear on that. I don't have time to do it before the election, after the election. We'll see what happens. It's just an absolute, it's kind of a cluster, you guys. So anyway, we're coming to the end of the broadcast. I want to thank everyone for all their listenership. I hope you enjoyed Mr. John O'Connor once again, his return to Article 5 Live. I know I enjoyed him, and he is always a great intellect to have on the broadcast. So, I want to thank you so much once again for being here. Next week, we'll have another show. I don't know who will be on. I do know that after the election, I have booked Mr. James Copeland to come and help us break down what happened. Well, hopefully we'll be defined on who's going to be the president. So until then, may God continue to bless you, your family, these United States of America, and may he continue to protect our great president. I'll be back live on the internet next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern, with the best 90 minutes in digital media, Article 5 Live. It might be 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Pacific by then. Until then, this is JD signing off. Be safe and God bless.